right. Okay, so now you guys have these. I'm going to start to walk us through this page in this vision for missionary discipleship at Christ the King. Father Matthew mentioned this a little bit, but before I really get into this, I just want to point something out again, which is that the vision that we're about to cast and trying to speak clarity into this mission and vision of Christ the King and the culture of Christ the King, it's not a response to anything in particular. It's been, like Father Matthew said, an ongoing discernment just over the years of having a student ministry here of what is the Lord doing, how is the Lord working and moving, where is he inviting us to as a campus ministry. And this has been going back for years and years, certainly with Father Andrew, and even before Father Andrew, when it was just Jordan, Lane, whatever her last name was before she got married, Kuntz, when it was Jordan Kuntz, and then with this lady named Julie, who we just have no idea how indebted to her we are for her yes 10 years ago in laying the foundation for this community that we now are a part of. So I just want to point out this has been a continual journey. It's not a response to anything in particular, anything that we're doing wrong right now. It's actually, we're clarifying this because we're doing so many things right, and the Lord is working so profoundly and so on such a large scale that we're just needing to kind of make sure we are on the path that he wants for us. And with that said, maybe the other just nuance to clarify is that we just want to be on the same path. Like we do know that we're all in the church of Jesus Christ that he established, and we are on this same mission, but we just want to cast greater clarity so that we can be greater unified in this mission of the salvation of souls and the greater glory of God, like Father Matthew said that our mission statement is. So those are the caveats. Now we'll get going. Our mission statement, Father Matthew said it, I just said it, the salvation of souls and the greater glory of God. That should be familiar because that has just been the mission of the church the whole time the church has existed. That has been the mission of Christ the King, the person, since he came onto this earth, and even before that, and it's been the mission of Christ the King, this place, this parish, this church, the whole time we've existed, whether it was this exact language or not. This is the mission of the church, and this is like a big deal. This is something really exciting that we get to be a part of, that we get to participate in the Lord drawing people to himself. Like Jesus says in the Word of God, I think it's a letter of Paul, but he says that God desires for all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of truth. Okay, God wants everyone on this campus, and God wants everyone in the whole world, and there is a lot of things that are keeping people from God and from loving God who made them. And so we get to participate in the salvation of souls. In particular, in this place, we get to participate in the greater glory of God. I'm thinking, too, of Mary's Magnificat at the beginning where she says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Like, that right there captures our mission statement. And that's what we want to imitate, is like Mary's yes, her fiat to the Lord, to glorify God through the salvation of souls. So that's kind of an overview of our mission. How do we want to live that out? How do we more specifically here at Christ the King? Because that's like the mission of the Church Universal. What's our particular mission or our vision for how we accomplish that mission here at Christ the King? It's to be a house of formation on LSU's campus for lifelong missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. Two things I want to highlight about the vision statement is first that we say LSU's campus because we are a parish at the service of LSU's campus and the souls associated with LSU's campus. Father Matthew was in a conversation with Bishop Duca recently that he was telling us about. And from, you know, the highest authority in our diocese, Bishop Duca told Father Matthew that LSU exists as a parish for LSU. Christ the King exists as a parish for LSU. Christ the King exists as a parish for LSU. So we have a very clear direction that that's our mission field, and those are the souls that the Lord is wanting us to is the soul on this campus, your guys' peers. Okay, lifelong is the other word I want to emphasize in the vision statement. Like, praise be to God that all of you are in this room, that all of you have been giving your yeses, that you've given your yeses in the past, that you are now, that you are going to continue to do that, that you're showing that you want to continue to do that by applying for student leadership. But if it's not a lifelong thing, then we have failed our vision. We have failed in our mission and our vision at Christ the King. If you guys let what happens to you here and the way that you live here stop when you guys graduate. So we just want this to be a place where you guys can become rooted in your identities as sons and as daughters of the Father, and then be able to share that with others in such a way that they would be able to share that with others. And we want you guys to be able to do that for the rest of your life, no matter where you go. Okay. Now, breaking open the mission and vision a little bit more, we have our core values. So this is we've had these for years, at least since Father Andrew has been here. And these are how we hire and how we fire at Christ the King. So we are looking for men and women who embody these core values, these characteristics when we are hiring people. And if we're ever deciding to let someone go, we're asking how are they those people embodying these or not. So we wanted to share these with you guys because I don't know if most of you students are familiar with these. We're becoming more familiar with them as a staff. We haven't been especially familiar in the past. But I just want to like point out that this is what it means to be a part of this community as a staff, and we want to invite you guys to embody these same characteristics. So the first one, rooted in a personal relationship with Christ and the sacramental life of the church. Just, it's always, I'm just smiling because, like, I don't know how many times, well, we could never say it enough, that, like, relationship with Jesus is always first, and he is the one thing necessary, and without him we can do nothing, and he is the bridegroom of our hearts, and it is always about him, and it always has to be rooted in him. Everything we do, everything we don't do has to be ordered toward communion with him, and that's what we want for you guys, is communion with the Lord, rooted in a personal relationship with him and in the sacramental life of the church. Father Andrew is the one who came up with these core values. I wanted to just share like how he embodied this. So probably a year and a half ago at this point, we were talking as a staff about what our favorite thing about ourselves is. And Father Andrew, being an especially humble man, got all like, you know, kind of anxious, or not anxious, but like a little bit, he just didn't like that question, you know, because he's very humble, so he doesn't want to say what he likes about himself. So he didn't do it in the group setting, but then weeks later, I can still picture where we're sitting. We're at the Drunken Fish on the road, and I was like, dude, can you just tell me like something, like tell me one of your favorite things about you? And what he said, he said that I think my favorite thing about me is how much I want to be with the Lord. Which I was crying about this earlier this morning when I was like thinking about sharing the story, because he's just been such a witness to what it means to just be a man after God's own heart and to long for communion more than anything else and to desire union with Christ more than anything else. His favorite thing about himself is how much he wants to be with the Lord. And that's what I want for all of us. I want that to be our favorite thing about us, is that we long to be with the Lord. So that's our former pastor, you know, on whose shoulders like Father Matthew is now standing and on whose shoulders we're standing is that man. Humbly confident is number two. Two sides to humbly confident. We need to know our gifts, and we also need to know our weaknesses. We need to know our gifts so that we can humbly and also confidently step into what the Lord is inviting us to do in the way that the Lord is inviting us to accomplish the salvation of souls and the greater glory of God. And so to not feel guilty if we have certain gifts that we can use over here to serve. Like it is a good thing that we have gifts, and there are many members in this one body, and the Lord has given all of us different members different gifts so that we can accomplish his work on this campus and in the world. And so it is a good thing that we all have gifts, and it's a good thing to recognize the gift giver in whose mission we're serving. And then on the opposite side, we just need to know when to ask for help, which is like all the time, because we can do nothing without Jesus. And this is a little bit more of a personal example. This certainly applies to how we work together as a staff, but just in case anyone in here thought that I or anyone on staff like is perfect or something, you know, or like doesn't struggle or doesn't have inclinations towards sin and all this stuff, that would be silly of you to think. And so something that literally just happened earlier today to me, or that I chose to do. So I was trying to fast a little bit today because it's Friday during Lent. Okay, appropriate time to fast. I was like, well, I'll just have one peanut butter Nature Valley biscuit thing. You guys know what I'm talking about? I was like, I'll have one of those around lunchtime just to like, you know, hold myself over till dinner. Do you guys know what happened between 11 and 2 p.m.? I had nine. I had nine of these. Why? And I did that because, I mean, like, not to over-spiritual, like, this ultimately is what it is. I was, like, looking for comfort in the wrong place. I was looking for fulfillment and communion and connection in the wrong place, you know, in food. And it tasted quite good, but, like, it wasn't what I was looking for, okay? I needed to go to the Lord in that moment. So, yeah, like, stuff like that happened to me earlier today. I'm for sure going to have to confess that. Okay. Work as a team and a family. Like I said, many members to one body. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. The foot can't say to the nose, I don't need you. Like, we all need each other. Every person in this room needs every other person in this room for their own soul and the sanctification of their own soul, and then also to help save other souls. We need everyone. A good example of this, again, on our staff would be how we run community nights. So Grace and I have kind of been the point duo for it, as far as maybe what's more visible, but community night would for sure not be able to happen if Claire, can you raise your hand? Can we clap for Claire real quick? Yeah. If Claire was not behind the scenes taking care of the logistics, making sure the Knights of Columbus were here and knew how many people to cook for and was organizing the hospitality team and making sure everything was cleaned up, like, we need Claire for community night to happen, just like we need everyone else to come. And like, we need the table leaders and the floaters and the greeters and the hospitality team. Okay, hardworking. Not going to give a story for this one, but basically what we mean by this is being God in each moment. So just saying yes to the will of God in each moment. So we don't mean like perfectionism. Like, we want excellence, but that isn't perfectionism. That isn't that we have to be perfect all the time. It just means giving a yes to what the Lord is asking us in each moment. And that, yeah, those are the types of men, the types of women that we want to be. Last one, mission oriented. This is just, yeah, everything that we're receiving from the Lord and this relationship of love, that it, like, love always seeks to expand its communion. So as we're receiving love, we're sending that back out because that's what the Lord wants for everyone. An example of this on our staff would be Patrick, who is not here because he's not a member of the campus ministry staff, which is why I'm using him as an example. Even though he's not a campus minister, and even when he's on the clock, he's not a campus minister, he still is like living mission. He still is letting his relationship with the Lord influence and inform how he interacts with others. So he's been playing basketball in the UREC for a while with a bunch of guys, and this semester he started a Bible study. These are all like 30-year-old men, you know, I don't really know where they come from, but this is not his job, but he like did it anyways, you know, and he did it because he loves Jesus, and he knows that Jesus loves these men he's playing basketball with, and he wants these men to be in relationship with Jesus who loves them. That's just his identity. There's all kinds of encyclicals and documents as of late out in the church about the missionary mandate of the church, and in one of them it says that the church is missionary by her very nature, which means that we as baptized members of the church are missionary by our very nature. So it just is part of our identities as disciples of Jesus Christ that we would be missionary, that we would take what we've received and that we would share that with the world, that we would proclaim the good news that we've received in our hearts with others. And that's like what we want to invite you guys into, and this is how we're going to try and transition into the CTK student leadership part of this talk, is just to point out that this, your guys' involvement as Christ the King student leaders, is not just like another club among many. This is not just something else that you do on the side, or not even on the side, but it's not even just your main thing. It's like your whole life. It's your identity, is your relationship with the Lord, and inviting other people into that relationship. We want that to be your guys' identities. We want missionary disciples out of each one of you. And that's what we're seeking to be as staff members, like whether we're clocked in, whether we're not, like 24/7, 365, we are missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of the Father. We're, yeah, the beloved of Jesus. We are friend to Jesus, and we are dwelling places of the Holy Spirit 24/7. So now talking about student leadership, we want like your guys' yes to the Lord to inform any particular role that you guys take on. And we want it to first be a yes to Jesus before anything else. And so that's why we're like primarily emphasizing like the more 30,000 foot view, because the roles and how the Lord might be inviting you to serve in a particular way is going to come later. Okay, so we are going to talk broadly about the expectations and commitments of student leaders. Missionary disciple, I just want to kind of define that phrase just in case you normally just hear disciple or you normally just hear be a missionary and you don't often hear them together. So Mark 1, verse 17, Jesus says to whichever disciples he's talking to, I forget. He says, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. There's like a twofold situation that's happening there. Come after me and I will make you fishers of men. So for sure, the disciple piece is like coming after Jesus and just pursuing the relationship with him, responding to love with love. But then the missionary part would be like becoming fishers of men. And that is what the Lord wants for everyone. Like love of neighbor cannot be separated. And so that like ultimately is the trajectory of your path of discipleship. No matter where you find yourself on that path, we want you here and we want to accompany you on your path. But that is like the vision for your discipleship with Jesus Christ, is to be a missionary disciple, one who comes after him and becomes a fisher of men and women. Okay, great. Expectations and commitments. We have three kind of core things that we're going to go over. We'll talk about less, and I won't go into so much detail about that one. But basically what we want to invite you guys into is to strive to live the habits of Acts 2:42, which is referring to the earliest Christians in the book of Acts, right after Peter gives his sermon at Pentecost. It says about the earliest Christians, they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. We want that to be your guys' way of life, just like we strive as a staff to have those things inform our way of life. and then we want to let that way of life and that communion with the Lord and with our brothers and sisters in Christ inform how we live our mission. And so we want everyone also to strive to be on mission and to invest deeply in a few. I will elaborate more on what we mean by invest deeply in a few, but the scripture that we get, or where we get this from, is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Does anyone know all three of those verses? That's a student off the top of your head. Grace will give you $5 if you do. It's a joke. Okay. Well, so we should learn that because the bookends of the Great Commission where Jesus says, go therefore, is like the most important part of the statement because Jesus is reminding us that he is like the source and the summit and the principal agent of evangelization for any missionary work that we will do. He says to the 12 apostles, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And then he concludes by saying, and behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So like starts with Jesus, ends with Jesus, Jesus in the middle, like it's just always Jesus. Okay, everything is ordered toward Jesus Christ and communion and relationship with him. So just wanted to emphasize that. Okay, I'm going to start to break down these four pillars of Acts 2:42 and more specifically what we want to invite you guys into as student leaders in this community and how to live these. We recognize that this is like a high call. Like this is like a high bar that we're setting. And I just want to say, like, be not afraid. You know, wherever you find yourself, whether you're feeling like as we're going through this, if you're feeling like, oh, that's a lot of a commitment. Like, we want you exactly where you are. And Jesus meets you exactly where you are. And he loves you exactly where you are. And that's what we want to do with you and for you. And we just want to accompany you on your journey as you make your way to heaven. So just like know that we know that this is a high call, but like it has to be because it's like a serious mission. And there is an enemy who's like trying to keep each one of us and every person on LSU's campus away from God and away from heaven and what we're made for. So yeah, I didn't know how to transition that, my bad. Okay, spend at least 20 minutes in silent mental prayer. That's the first thing. These are out of order from the verse Acts 2:42, but this is just how we generally communicate them. It seems like 20 minutes in silent mental prayer. So I think we probably pray like more than most any like parish I could possibly think of. We just pray a lot. So like praise God that you guys like long to be with the Lord and that you spend time in silent prayer in the chapel with Jesus. And praise God for how available he is too, that we have like a tabernacle there and in here and at the JP2 house. That's such a gift. What we mean by silent mental prayer in particular is that it would be that silent time with the Lord. So the rosary, liturgy of the hours in particular, it's like the highest prayer besides the mass. So like, please continue to pray that if you're praying that. And that certainly is a way to be in communion with the Lord and with the mystical body. But when we set aside a chunk of our day to just let the Lord speak, to say, speak Lord, for your servant is listening, and give him permission to speak his still small voice into our hearts, it transforms our hearts. That's like certainly been my experience over the course of the years that I've been putting aside time every day to pray. And I am definitely the man that I am today because I've let Jesus inform the man that I am today in the chapel. So that would be, you know, praying with scripture, Lectio Divina, imaginative prayer. Honestly, taking something you watch in The Chosen and like taking that to the chapel and like asking Jesus to like continue to reveal himself to you from that scene is a powerful way to do silent time in the chapel. Journaling, just sitting, adoring the Lord as he adores you. Time with Jesus. That's what we want for you guys. And so that's why we just have the particular phrasing of silent mental prayer. Like, that's what we want for you guys, is that time with the Lord. And the Lord wants that with you, because he longs to be with you. Another thing, also ordered toward communion with the Lord, is the church's abstinence and fasting proposition for all of us, in the United States in particular. So it used to be that all Christians or all Catholics around the world would abstain from meat all Fridays throughout the year. And then in the United States, just with cultural norms changing and this kind of thing, there is now basically the practice is that you can abstain from meat on Friday or you can substitute a different fast or penance. Either one is like in order to remember the Lord's passion every Friday. And so in that sense is ordered toward communion with the Lord and communion to his passion, which leads to resurrection. There's a little bit more information once you guys go on the website to actually apply whenever you guys leave here. If you want more information, it stems from Precept 4 of the Catholic Church, and then there's some descriptions of this on the USCCB's website if you guys are curious about kind of the origins of this. But that is also something that we want to invite you guys into, is just to, yeah, unite yourselves to the Lord and to his passion, because that's part of the discipleship journey, and it's part of what it means to be in communion with him. Flowing from there, I want to invite you guys into a particular way of living the sacramental life. Again, this is generally just what the church is like inviting you into. So the first one, attend Sunday Mass and Holy Days of Obligation. Done. I don't think a single person in here doesn't do that. So praise God. We're going to skip that one. Receive reconciliation regularly. The church doesn't give a particular prescription for how frequently to go to confession, except for once a year. I think it's during the Lenten season. I definitely recommend going more than that. And we want to invite you guys to go more than that, because confession is a sacrament of healing. And we are all in desperate need of healing. And we all need a divine physician. And I know that I cannot go super long without taking a visit to the divine physician. Okay, and like having him reconcile what is turning away from the Father in my heart back to the Father. So just want to encourage you guys to frequent confession, especially with it being a sacrament of healing, where the Lord wants to pour out his mercy and his healing graces upon you. And then lastly, in this category, is just attend daily Mass when possible. Again, just recognizing that like everything is from the Lord, everything is ordered back to the Lord, and that we can do nothing without him, and that we get to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity every time we go to Mass. No other, you know, denomination really gets that. Like, we get to share intimacy with the Lord, mind, soul, and body. Okay, so like that's like pretty unique. And that's like the main reason I'm Catholic, actually, is because of that, the power of the sacraments and getting to meet Jesus physically. And so we just want like all of this way of living to flow from a disposition of the heart, a disposition that longs to be in communion with Jesus and to be intimate with him, mind, body, soul. Okay, next page. Teachings of the Apostles. Okay, so that just refers to study of the faith. This is the one I'm going to spend the least amount of time on. It's the most broad. Strive to grow in human, spiritual, intellectual, and apostolic formation. These are four dimensions of formation that John Paul II established in order to form priests and to kind of get the church universal on the same page as far as how to form priests. And so these are basically just as far as everything that it encapsulates what it means to be a human, to be a Christian, can be found in one of these four dimensions. And the importance of striving to be formed in these four dimensions is that there is like a battle for our minds going on at every moment. And like all kinds of different voices are trying to tell us lies and to inform our way of viewing in such a way that we would not view with that lens of Christ or with the sacramental worldview or with the lens of the gospel. And so I'm like thinking of Romans 12:2, like, do not conform yourselves to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So it's just important that we do that. So like listening to podcasts, watching Matt Fratt or Father Mike Schmitz on YouTube, or bringing your questions to like friends that you trust and like wrestling with the questions that you have and being curious in a healthy way. This is just so important to like the life of the disciple and to being sustained, because we can't love what we don't know. And if we don't know Jesus and his church and what he teaches us, then we can't love it to the degree that he wants us to. So we have to, strive to know so that we can love. Lastly, communal life, when it comes to the four pillars, participation and attendance at CTK Leadership Workshop. I'm not going to really describe these that much right now. Participation and attendance at community nights. And then we just want to invite you guys to like live a life of virtue and moral authority. So certainly for your own soul, and just like that's what's good for you, is to like live the way that the Lord has prescribed for you so that you can be in communion with him. He like knows what he's doing when he says like live this way, when he invites us into this life, type of living, or when he says don't live that way because it's not good for you. So it's like first for us, and to be able to like be touched by beauty and to perceive truth and to know goodness and to be able to choose goodness. Like virtue is first for us, but then also it's just so that like when other people see us, they know that we're set apart and they can tell that something different about our lives and that we are set apart, and it's for a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And just in general, why I'm not going to go into much specifics about the other two bullets is because just like we all know, and Father Matthew pointed this out, like community. Okay, like community is so important. None of us would be the man, the woman that we are today if we didn't have community. Oftentimes, I heard it said once, the gospel is most profoundly experienced in the context of authentic friendship. And I think that's like what we were hearing mostly from your shares, is that you guys experience the gospel in the context of a community who loves God, in the context of a community who loves you. You guys have been drawn closer and closer into relationship with the Lord. So just making sure that we prioritize good relationships, relationships that are directing us toward Jesus. Transitioning now to mission, and like basically mission would be what flows from this way of living and this rule of life that, we want you guys to be able to take with you for the rest of your life. Centering your life around Acts 2:42, no matter where you go, is going to be the way that you'll be able to maintain your discipleship relationship with the Lord. From this these habits of Acts 2:42, our mission flows. We've always had this commitment to your particular apostolate or leadership role as one of the commitments, so things like Bible study, awakening, community night, freshman outreach, music ministry, the list goes on and like literally on and on, like they're all on my board and it takes up a lot of my board, my whiteboard in my office. So we just have a lot of ways, you know, that we are serving the Lord and serving the people on this campus. Praise God. What we want to be a lot more intentional about going forward into next year, and especially regarding what it means to be a student leader, is that we would invest deeply in a few people and that we would not think that like the event is the only thing that's going to help someone be in relationship with Jesus. Like the event is only at the service of helping someone progress along their discipleship journey of Jesus Christ. And that discipleship journey that they're walking on is there, like someone else is meant to be walking with them. And that someone else is you. That someone else is you. That someone else is me. Like there are people in our lives on this campus who need someone to accompany them on their journey of discipleship with Jesus Christ. And we can invite them to events for sure to like help, you know, give them a win moment or what the heck is the word I'm looking for? Doesn't matter. Anyways, events are crucial and they do help like us progress along the journey. But it has to be rooted in like a friendship. Like I just said, the gospel is experienced in the authentic friendship. So what we want this to look like is that say you leave a Bible study and you have 7 or 8 people in your Bible study. We want a few of those people in your Bible study to be the people that you accompany much more intentionally and much more deeply outside of the Bible study. So say there's like 2 of the guys or 2 of the girls in your Bible study and they're like really showing interest in the Lord and they're like, oh my gosh, like I think something's happening. Kind of like what Bree was sharing. Like when you find a person like that, you've got to spend time with them. Okay, you've got to insert yourself into their lives and you've got to invite them into your life so that you can share with them the thing that you know that they're longing for and the thing that they're starting to know that they're longing for. So we want each one of you guys to be able to accompany and invest in the people that you hopefully are already friends with and that you already have a relationship with. And we want you guys to know that, like, we don't just, and I'm not saying that anyone was ever intentionally doing this. I mean, I've fallen into this unintentionally. But we're not just, like, throwing a person into a program and then kind of saying, okay, I've done my job. Okay, we're, like, never doing that. We're, like, accompanying a person, again, in their relationship with Jesus throughout the whole journey. And maybe there's some programming in there, you know, that helps facilitate that. And that's probably what's happened to all of us. But it's always about, like, a person-to-person relationship and inviting them into like a third person relationship with Jesus and then ultimately into this like mystical body of Christ. Yes, okay. Lastly, I want to talk about just these discipleship groups for 1 minute and just say we've been calling them formation groups. We're gonna switch to calling them discipleship groups because that's just is what they are. Like we're all disciples of Jesus and we're all accompanying each other in this journey of discipleship. And so we're gonna call them discipleship groups. Focused discipleship exists. This is not that. That said, like what Focus does, it has a couple particular things about it that are, you know, particular to that mission. But generally, like the model that Focus uses is just the model of Jesus Christ. Okay, so like investing deeply in a few. So that is not a Focus thing. That is a Catholic Church thing, and that's a Jesus Christ thing. And we see it all throughout the Gospels. Jesus spent time with 3 guys most often. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. Yes, we see it everywhere. And then he also spent time with the other 9 people to round out the 12. But, like, that's how he did it. And then he did give the Sermon on the Mount, and he fed the 5,000 and the Sermon on the Plain. Like, he did some of the events, but the whole time he was accompanying a small group of men as they were being transformed. So we want to imitate that. And then we want to just be able to accompany you guys, like, a little bit more intentionally, too. So we want to have these discipleship groups be something that we ask or invite all of you guys to be a part of. And we want to invite all of you guys to be a part of it, and we think it would be helpful and good for all of you to be a part of it, because as we're inviting you guys into this high call, we're giving you like a greater commitment to say yes to. We want to give you greater accompaniment, basically. And again, like that's why I'm here, is because I had someone walking with me through this journey, and we want to be able to do that for you guys. And we want you guys to be able to do that for you guys. Like, we want you guys to be able to do that for each other, and we want you guys to be able to do that for your peers that you're going to be meeting on campus. We want to pass along the faith in such a way that we would be able to, like, teach those people we're passing it on to pass on the faith as well. And then it keeps going and keeps going. Like, none of us would be here if that wasn't what the Christians who went before us did. So, like, this model of discipleship, this vision for missionary discipleship, is why each one of us are here. It's certainly the thing that's changed the trajectory of my life. I needed someone to say yes before me so that I could be standing in front of you guys. And that person who said yes, his name is Elliot Consoli. And if he had not said yes, I for sure would not be standing in front of you right now, and I most likely would not be Catholic if he had not said yes. We were at Seek. Shoot, I'm running late. I'm not going to tell that story, actually. But basically, I was just going to point out how amazing he is and how, like, basically he played a pivotal role in just me encountering the Lord and being able to be here and to share the Lord with you guys as well. I needed Elliot to say yes. You guys needed someone to say yes. Everyone is in here because someone in your life said yes, and then someone in that person's life said yes, and then someone in that person's life said yes. Like the chain reaction thing that someone shared over there, that's what's been happening throughout all of Christian history, and it goes all the way back to the 12 apostles and to the Christians who Acts 2:42 refers to. And if they had let what they received from Jesus stay in that time and in that place, we would not be here. And if they had let what happened in their hearts in that time and that place stay only in their hearts, we would not be here. Like, we needed them to say yes to Jesus in such a way that they would go and share that with others, and that they would go and share that with others in a way that would allow that person and those people to pass on the faith until we would end up right here. And so over the centuries, like, the torch has been passed on, and now the torch is in each one of our hearts. Like, Jesus, the light of the world, is in each one of our hearts, and we have the opportunity to say yes. And this is the way we're inviting you guys to say yes. Again, this is things we do think is, like, common to the whole Christian Catholic flock. Pretty much, I would propose that this is common to the whole flock, and we want this to be common to the whole flock under Father Matthew here at Christ the King. This is what we want you guys to say yes to, and this is what we have, in a way, the responsibility to say yes to. Because if we don't say yes, then in 2,000 more years, if Jesus hasn't come again yet, then there won't be a room of people like this. So we have to say yes to Jesus, who is, like, just the lover of our lives and the one who just pursues us relentlessly. We have to say yes. We have to give him permission to be Lord, to be Savior, to be our beloved. And then we have to share that with others. That's all I got.